Thinking about GLP-1s to help with weight loss? Go micro with Noom. You start off with a small dose of medication, then gradually increase as your body reacts. The Noom GLP-1 microdose program starts at $79 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your microdose GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom. Micro changes, big results. Initial 3-week subscription and 4 weeks of medication from $79 plus tax and $179 per month plus tax for 12-week subscription thereafter. Final pricing depends on program selection.
On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the WFAN.
Yeah, off and running on this, Thursday night, early Friday morning. Welcome in. It is your overnight oasis. Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan. With you for the next 5 hours, taking you up to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. Of course, the number you know, 888-808-1019. Lots to do, plenty to discuss. The NFL draft is certainly quickly approaching. Feels like we've been talking about it for years, but it's quickly approaching. Under 2 weeks to go until we find out what the Giants do at number 5, what the Jets do at number 2. What do they do anything at those spots? All of a sudden, some rumors to get into about the possibility of the Giants not picking at number 5, and even possibly the Jets not picking at number 2. So we'll get into the draft as we go along. We'll get into the hockey with the Islanders, a big win last night. Get into some other fun stuff as well. But where we got to start is with the baseball, because the Yankees went out yesterday after not getting a whole lot of offense the day before, and they had even less offense yesterday. So the Yankees go out and lose to the A's, series finales to the A's, and they lose by the count of 1-0. And not even just not a lot of runs. Obviously, they had none. They only had one hit against the Vegas A's, or soon-to-be Vegas A's. Are they still their Sacramento A's or wherever they're playing these days? And obviously, a lot of the focus has been, rightfully so, on the offense, right? The Yankee offense, outside of the first inning 2 days ago, I believe has had only two hits, which is not good. Usually, you need more than two hits. Now, I will say, it does cut down on the problems of hitting with runners in scoring position, mainly because they didn't have many runners in scoring position. 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. They left 5 men on base. And it felt like one of those days where it kind of punches some holes into that narrative that was coming together. What was it, last week? Maybe it was just after opening day. The Yankees were going to approach things in a different attitude this year. And they were going to be locked in every single game. They have things to prove this year. But these things happen. And I will say, as frustrating as it was to watch that game yesterday, with no offense going on, trying to keep in track of the Masters and watching the Yankees, the one thing that you can say about the Yankees' offensive struggles, I'm fairly confident that the Yankee offense in the regular season is not going to be a problem. Now, it's not always going to be a strength, but most times it's going to be a strength. You can have your quibbles about the bottom of the order. You can have your issues with Ryan McMahon if you want, and he has been terrible. Still easing the way in for Anthony Volpe whenever he's back. The average down to 069 now. The slugging also 069. Perfect synergy by Ryan McMahon. Good for him. But the real crux of the problem yesterday were the main guys. Nobody did anything. Again, the Yankees had one hit. Ben Rice with that one hit. But I'm fairly confident that the Yankee offense over time is going to be a strength of the team. And I will say, if it's not, for some reason, let's go worst case scenario and say that the Yankee offense is going to be an issue all year long. Well, then the Yankees are screwed, because the Yankees are, as great as the pitching has been, the Yankees are devised as having a team that's going to hit a ton of home runs, is going to score a ton of runs. They had most runs in all of baseball last year, and even if they don't score the most runs in all of baseball this year, I really don't think that they're going to be a middle-of-the-pack team in terms of offense. And I will say, it's frustrating to get shut out against a team like the A's in the final game of a series. You want to be able to win the series and move on and keep this good start going. And if you're one of these people that feels like, and I heard some people calling the Carton Show, it's already done, it's already over. I will just say, the Dodgers, who won the World Series last year, were shut out 10 times last season. The Dodgers, who won the World Series the year before, they got shut out 13 times. And the team that we judge everything against, the 98 Yankees, probably the best team that we've all ever seen. Who knows, maybe the Dodgers will win 125 games in the regular season this year. But the 98 Yankees got shut out 16 times in a season where they won 114 regular season games. So I'm not really all that concerned about the Yankee offense. As frustrating as yesterday was at the stadium going up against the A's, because you just needed one run. Just needed one. Could somebody get a hit? Anybody get a hit? But it didn't turn out to be the case. Then, at night, you got the Mets. And the Mets were looking to bounce back with Nolan McClain on the mound. And Nolan McClain, I think he looked sharper last night than he did in his last outing before that. Now, the last outing before that was against the Giants out in San Francisco. And I don't know if this is a trend that they're pushing on the broadcast, but the previous outing, he had a no-hitter. I think it was going into the sixth when it finally kind of fell apart for him, kind of ran out of gas. But they're always talking, one of these days he's going to throw a no-hitter. And look, I understand the Mets have not had many no-hitters in their franchise history. No-hitters really aren't a thing, and we don't make a big deal about no-hitters anymore. But Nolan McClain was sharper, I thought, last night, more impressive last night, going up against the Diamondbacks. Unfortunately, Mets didn't score a whole lot of runs. They scored one run, and then the bullpen came in. McClain, I think, started to tire a little bit. They went to the bullpen. It all falls apart. The defense falls apart, and the Mets lose the final. I think it was 7-1? Yeah, it was 7-1 the final. And look, McClain is fantastic, and I know some Met fans are feeling like they got a little deja vu all over again with McClain being this great pitcher, and they can't score for him, much like they used to have the problem with Jacob DeGrom back in the day, where every time DeGrom would go out and pitch a brilliant game, the team would just never score for whatever reason. It was like a consistent thing. And it wasn't just like one year, it was like multiple years that this would happen. But the thing that I really took away from the Mets last night, and I kind of hit on it a little bit yesterday on the show, is the struggles of Francisco Lindor. And is it time for the Mets to maybe give Francisco Lindor a day off, a little break, a little breather? Now, he did have a hit last night. He kind of fisted off a pitch late in the game when it was already over, and he finally put up a hit. But Francisco Lindor has been a shell of himself so far this season. Even after that one hit, he's hitting 157 on the season. He's had some walks, so he's been on base a couple of times. His on base is 300, but his slugging is 255. This is a horrendous start for one of the foundational pieces of your team and of your offense. And I realize it's only a couple of weeks into the season, but it doesn't seem like things are clicking at this point. It does not seem like Francisco Lindor is working his way. Now, who knows? Maybe next game the Mets play, all of a sudden Lindor will put up three hits and everything will be okay. But based on what we're watching, based on his at-bats.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Especially at a time where Juan Soto is on the IL, you really need Francisco Lindor to kind of be that table setter at the top of the order, and he has not been that. And it seems like this season he's just been, I don't know, coasting is the right word, but not locked in as you need him to be. Obviously, he had the incident with the forgetting how many outs there were and getting picked off first base in that game. But just overall, his performance has not been very good all season. And for all the talk that we have about Ryan McMahon is a guy who the Yankees have at the bottom of their lineup. Francisco Lindor is one of the foundational pieces of the New York Mets. And he has not provided you much of anything so far this season. Now, even before we go to the calls at 888-808-1019, I know what people are going to say. Well, Lindor, you know, Gordon, Lindor, he gets off to slow starts every season. This is just typical for Francisco Lindor. And I would say that's not really true. I fell into that narrative last night. But today I went and I did a little research. I have this thing at my house. It's like a screen, and then it's like a keyboard. And I type on the keys. They have letters on the keys. And it connects me to the World Wide Web. And I found information on the World Wide Web about just how Francisco Lindor actually performs in his career in the first month of the season. So in the first month of the season, in his career, which is not, he's not a young player anymore. He's a pretty established star in Major League Baseball. In the first month of the season, Francisco Lindor, career-wise, is a .248 hitter. He's got a .332 on base and a .428 slugging. So that's not prime Francisco Lindor, but it's a whole lot better than what you're getting right now. That's kind of what you need. Because for all the talk that we'll have about the Mets and how the bullpen fell apart and how the defense didn't do the job and Brett Beatty out in right field misplaying a ball and opening up the real crux of the problem last night was the runs, was the offense. The Mets had one run against the Diamondbacks. And a lot of the blame, I think, at this point has to fall at Francisco Lindor. Again, he's the leadoff hitter. So in his career, he's a .248 hitter in the first month of the year. So that's not really true that, oh, well, he always gets off to slow starts. Now, has he gotten off to some slow starts? Yeah, but not last year. Last year, he got off to a great start. Last year, in the first 30 games of the season, he hit .308. He hit an on-base of .372, a slugging of .500. That's prime Francisco Lindor. That's the kind of guy that you're paying for. Where has that guy been? Is that guy going to show up anytime soon? 2024, in 29 games, hit .197, a .280 on base, slugging of .359. That's not great. That kind of plays into the narrative of he really gets off to slow starts. This slow start is worse than that slow start. 2023, again, the average wasn't great, .218, but he was slugging .446, a far more productive player than you've gotten so far. 2022, he hit .282 in the first month of the year. Had an on-base of .367 and a slugging of .482. That's kind of prime Francisco Lindor. Where is that guy? So the narrative that has been established of, well, you can't worry about it. You can't be that concerned. This is just what he does. I don't know that that's acceptable at a time where you really kind of need to get off to a good start. After what happened last year, after what you witnessed, and losing out in a playoff spot by a single game, you can't have that happen again. If we get into the season and it looks anything like last year, playing .500 baseball where it's one step up, one step back, there are going to be changes that come in the course of this season. The only year that you can put together where Francisco Lindor got off to about as bad a start as he did this year was his first year with the Mets, which was probably the worst year of his career. That year, he hit .182 in the first month of the season and had a terrible season by all accounts. Now, that was his first year with the Mets, first year after the trade. Sometimes it takes guys, it took him an entire season to maybe get at home, but he should be at home at this point. Like the franchise, it seems like, has kind of tailored the franchise to him. Like, we all talked about everything that went on in the offseason with moving this guy and moving that guy. And I don't know if it's personality driven, that there was a real divide within the clubhouse, if it was just structurally how David Stern sees building a team. He's not going to put a lot of money into a power-hitting first baseman. He wanted to get out of Nimmo's contract. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's 100% one, 100% another, or somewhere in between, some shades of gray. But it's imperative for Francisco Lindor to be doing a whole lot more than he has been doing so far. And I would simply wonder as well, and certainly want to hear from you at 888-808-1019, is it possible that the Mets actually can do anything with Francisco Lindor? Like, after he had the incident with getting picked off the base and forgetting how many outs there were, you know, I know a lot of fans were, well, you should have taken him right out of the game at that point. And at the time, I said, you can't do that. That's just not the way things operate anymore. Like, if that's what Carlos Mendoza did, he's really putting a bullseye on his own back of embarrassing and calling out one of his best players in such a public way. Really is, if you alienate your best players, you're kind of tying your hands at the end of the day. Now, I will say, if the Mets don't start playing significantly better and getting on a groove at some point this year, those hands are going to be tied for Carlos Mendoza anyway. But I wonder at this point, is Francisco Lindor like too big that the Mets aren't going to do anything about him anyway? Because they didn't do anything, it doesn't seem like, at least publicly, when he's getting picked off the base and forgetting how many outs there are. The offseason, a lot of talk about the dynamics in the clubhouse, and he's certainly center part of that. Now, I'm not in that clubhouse. I don't know if that necessarily goes on or not, but that narrative, boy, that has lasted for a while now. We've had that for a couple of years. And to see the lack of productivity out of Francisco Lindor, even 2 weeks into the season, is troubling, is concerning. And this is not just business as usual. Business as usual is not this. Again, in his career, he's a .248 hitter in the first month of the season. In his career, he's got a slugging percentage of .430, basically. That's a far more productive player than anything that you have seen so far. And for a team that has had as many changes and as many moving parts, right? Guys out, guys in, Polanco's hurt, Soto's hurt, Bichette's in a new spot, Benj is a young player. There's a lot of guys who are even guys who have been here for a little while, they're still kind of trying to establish themselves in like Vientos and Alvarez. The one thing in the lineup you would like to be able to think you could count on is Francisco Lindor, and so far, through 2 weeks of a season, the opening month of the season, he has been a complete no-show. And I just wonder, is there ever going to be a time where the Mets play a game and you know what they say? You know what, maybe Francisco Lindor's got to take a little bit of a break. Maybe you got to give him a mental health day even 2 weeks into the season, because he does not look like the same player that we have come to expect and his reputation has been. And this is a time of the year where you really are kind of relying on him. After all the changes you made in the offseason, all the new parts, all the new pieces, you want to be able to get off to a good start, and you have to rely on your established players. And at least so far, Francisco Lindor has not held up his end of the bargain. And I wonder, is that because, are we going to see that at any point? Because I don't really expect it. I think that the Mets are just going to throw him out there because he likes to play every single day, and that's awesome. But at some point, you do have to wonder, is there something going on? Is it the surgery he had before the season? That sometimes saps guys' power. So maybe that's why the slugging numbers are down, but all the numbers are down. You know, for all the time we talk about Ryan McMahon this, or Austin Wells this, bottom of the Yankee lineup, this is the guy who's leading off for the New York Mets. This is the guy who is one of the highest paid players in the sport. I believe he's the highest paid shortstop in the sport. This is not some fringe player. This is not some guy, well, whenever he gets rolling, it'll be good. This is a very anticipated year for the New York Mets. And you heard, if you were watching the game last night, if you went to the game last night, when everything fell apart, there was a real frustration, anger, whatever you want to call it within Met fans. Now, look, maybe you would get that anyway when the bullpen comes in and blows it and the defense is not very sharp either, and a game that looked like it was going to go in the win column with the way that Nolan McClain was pitching. Maybe fans would be frustrated whenever that happens. But it feels like with the way last year went and the offseason that they had, which was a very unpopular offseason for the Met fan base, this feels like it's more than just 2 weeks into a season. There's more riding on this season than that, and there's more riding even on the first month of the season. Until you get things stabilized, there's more riding on it. When you only have 2 weeks of evidence to look at, there's more riding on it. Like a guy can go into a game and be hitting, like Francisco Lindor, 156, goes out and gets four hits tomorrow, things will look a whole lot better. Things can change quickly. But the only evidence you have so far with the New York Mets and Francisco Lindor, the signs are not good.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.